have no bracha whatsoever. That makes sense, right? You okay with it or no? What, you can't see the idea of not having a bracha for some kind of food that you're taking in?
Yeah, and you can still make bread from barley, and you can eat it, and you can be satisfied. Just because because it's animal feed doesn't mean. I mean, you can take human feed to feed it to animals too, so therefore call it animal feed.
That's true. That's true. I remember reading once that saorim were considered almost exclusively animal feed. I think it comes to an issue of demai. Like, do you have to take miser and truman? I think the answer is that from saorim, I don't remember exactly. It's been a long time since I learned these mesechta, but I seem to remember that the issue of miser may not apply or truman may not apply to saorim because it's not animal feed unless you go out of your way to prove that it's human.
But didn't we bring barley for a mincha?
Processed, not raw. That is, I think that you drop down. Okay. I think instead of dropping down from Adama or Mizonot to Shakol, they're arguing. But it's really a textual argument. That is, if I wanted to include both, I should have just said Kamach.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
If I say the lower one, I'm going to assume that the higher one is Bari Pradama. They're saying, no, the problem is that if they told you the higher one, then the lower one would be nothing. Then the question that you could say is, so why did the Mishnah just say generic? What's the quick answer? Say both. And the answer is the Gemara doesn't pursue that line of thought. So I don't know what to say. Oh, well, we're getting back to the issue of whether the original hypothesis was the reason why you don't say a Bari Pri Adama and Chitim the Kamach is because there's a fix that you can make to it. As opposed to olive oil where it's in a nice natural state, because here it's a raw state that's supposed to be processed to something else. Therefore, I say a Shakol, which means a Shakol doesn't just mean things that aren't grown on the ground or are processed. They're things which have not reached an acceptable last state. So we're saying, but wait a second, what about Chitim Sa'orim? I see the Chitim Sa'orim is a Shakol, and therefore I could have assumed the Chitim of, I'm sorry, Kemach de Sa'orim is a Shakol, therefore I have to assume that Kemach of Chitim is better. And the answer is don't jump to any conclusions, and you couldn't have said it the other way. It's really a textual argument they're making. They're still relying on that first statement, which is if Kemach hasn't reached its final goal, therefore it's not acceptable to say a Bari Pri Adama. So the Gemara says, Umi gara mi melech v'zamit. It's not but wait a second. You're telling me that if they would have said chitim, kemach de chitim, I would have assumed that kemach de sa'orim you have nothing for. But this is exactly what you're saying. Who says that they get the axe? How do I know that? Even if I eat salt or salt water, I say ashakol niyeh bidvaro. Why would I assume that sa'orim, even if it's animal feed, is any worse than that? Which is more or less the point that you were making. The rest says, no, it's trich. Sal kedaita melach v'zamid avid inish deshade lefume. Because when it comes to salt and salt water, people do put it in their mouths. Aval kimcha desari ho v'kasha l'kukiyani lo levarach al klal. So it wasn't like I was saying that it was animal feed, that it's difficult for your, I think kukiyani is like your stomach. I remember, what's that? It causes damage. It's like a...
It's hard to digest.
And because it causes damage, there's no kamash malan came into ain to it lehana mine by beruche. So I might have thought because it causes me some kind of damage, therefore I don't make a bracha. I wouldn't make a bracha whatsoever. And therefore the Mishnah had to go out of its way to include, even though it already knew that kemach tachita was a shakol nevavro. Then why mention kemach desor and wishkal nevavro? It should have been either nothing or it should have been obvious. You shouldn't have said it at all. Because not so obvious, because since it's more damaging to the body, I might have thought nothing. Therefore, I had to explicitly include it. But it doesn't mean that kemach tachita is one step up. Kemach tachita is in the same barrel, which is a shakol and not a brei pradama. So that logic works out, I think, okay. So Gemara then starts a new thing. What about Korah? What about Kura? Now, Kura, according to Rashi... Oh, by the way, something very interesting. What's very interesting about this Gemara, there are two things very interesting. In one case, we can see there's a whole section of Gemara that's parentheses out. We'll see why that is. But moreover, at the end of each one of these Gemaras, there's something that says, and halacha is like this. In the previous Gemara, it also says the halacha like this, and Rashi says, lo garsinan lei. We don't hold by it. And then he says, tremendous Rashi, he says like this. He says, hold on a second, let me find it. No, it was on the previous one. It was the one that you did yesterday. The one that you did yesterday, he says, lo garsina na. This is the whole thing that says halacha is like this. And he says, lo garsina halacha is like this. And the interesting thing is that it's not in our Gemara. It doesn't exist. That is, Rashi had a piece of Gemara that had a halachic decision, and Rashi says, don't garson it. Here, we actually have a halachic decision. It's about, on the page, it's about... it's next page, and towards the to the bottom of the thin lines on the next page, we'll see it. There's this whole section where it says Vehilchata Kimar Baravashi. Halacha's made. Gemara cuts it out, the parentheses cuts it out, which means the editors felt that it was invalid. Rashi doesn't comment one way or the other, so there's no way to know either Rashi thought it was okay and left it in, or Rashi didn't have it at all in his manuscripts, and therefore he didn't bother commenting on it. My suspect is the latter is true. What Rashi says is, on the first case, he says, Lo garsinan heviu oto me halacho gedolot. That's the Rabbeinu Haigon. You can see this Gemara is so practical, halacha, that what happens is in the manuscripts, people would write in what the halacha was, because people want to know. It wasn't like a zvachim, where I do a bunch of things, but nobody's going to be makrav korban, so honestly, I just move on to my next Gemara. In this Gemara, it's incredibly important to know what kind of bracha you make on olive oil and whatnot. So therefore, on the sides and the margins, that people make marginal comments. In this case, Rav Haigon himself made a marginal comment that said, and the halacha is like X. And Rashi had to, and apparently then it wormed its way into the manuscript. It went from the margin into the body of the manuscript as well. So now when you're reading the Gemara, it looks like the Gemara actually says, you know, a guy who's copying manuscripts doesn't know that it's Rav Haigon. He can barely read Hebrew. He's chosen because he has a nice handwriting, not because he's a Talmud Chacham. In fact, there's a famous Rashi, by the way, in the manuscript. It's been cut out of all the books now. It is actually a manuscript where inside Rashi it says, this is not Rashi. Which means somewhere outside in the margins wrote this not Rashi, and the next guy actually took those words not Rashi and put it into Rashi, so Rashi says it's not me. So you know that it's things migrate from marginal comments into the actual manuscripts. What you get the sense of is that this is such a practical halacha that these marginal comments were made in plethora, and then they wormed their way into the Gemara to the point that you couldn't tell what was Gemara, what was later Gaonic writing. So it's very interesting. Second of all, from this Gemara, by the way, that's what Rav Soloveitchik says. He's supposed to make a Bor Piah Eitz. I'm not saying a Paskin like this, but he says you say a Bor Piah Eitz on orange juice from Florida oranges and from chocolate.
If it has the pulp.
If it has the pulp. He would say even if it doesn't have the pulp for a reason, because since it's not made for juicing... He says it's not, I'm sorry, it's, I apologize, it's not made, if it's made for juicing, it's not made for eating. And therefore, the final takana is not when you pluck it off the tree. The final takana is only when it hits the juice. So it's like the Shemen Zayit.
So
like the
that,
Shemen Zayit.
In that case, then, if you do eat that orange, you should make shakol.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly right. And on a thin-skinned orange, we say a shakol. And what's the more obvious one? But that's a little bit difficult, because here we had a non-processed item, which was really gross in essence, as opposed to an orange, which is not gross. But an argument that you can make is for chocolate beans. You can't eat chocolate beans. I could grind up chocolate beans, come up with cocoa powder, but I can't chew that down. And even if I turned it into... So according to the Rav, when you turned it into... I'm pretty sure I'm quoting him correctly. When you turned it into chocolate, literally chocolate, that's what he said, Bray Pray 8, and not on an earlier time. I don't think anybody poskens like that. Everybody says shahakol on chocolate. However, the simple read of the Gemara is like Rav Soloveitchik, for better or worse. Anyway, Korah, what about the skimming of a tree? What happens if you have a shoot of a tree, a very young tree? And what people would do is they peel the green bark, and they would the green bark, and they would eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bo Priya Adamav, Shmuel Omer, Shakol Ni Abedvaro. So first of all, nobody says Bo Priya Eitz. That only applies for the fruit or the main produce of the tree. What about the eitz itself? If you decide to chow down on the eitz, so there's an edible part of the eitz. So here we have two opinions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Bo Priya Adamav, and according to Shmuel, you say Shakol Ni Abedvaro. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bo Priya Adamav, Pirahu. You say Bo Priya Adamav because it's edible. It's a fruit. It's not the fruit, but it's a fruit. Ushmul Amer Shakoni Bavro, he'll hold the sofa the hakshot. It's not food. You leave it out for a day. As soon as you get it off the tree, you leave it out, it turns into a piece of wood. Well, not exactly wood, but like a piece of bark. Gemara says, Amr Leishmul Rav Yehuda. So in this argument, Rav Shmuel actually turned to Rav Yehuda. He said, Shinana, you know you're right. Kavatechem Stabra. We hold exactly like you. The hot sun on sofa the hakshot. How do I know that? I know that it's sonain. That's it. Artsone atzanun is a radish, is going to get hard if I leave it out. Which means I don't care if something's going to get hard at the end. The fact that it's edible now makes it a fruit, and therefore it's edible. Therefore, Shmuel, who said it was shahakol, turns to Rabbi Yehuda and says, "You're right. If it's now edible, then I define it now as edible, regardless of the final outcome." The Gemara says, "Wait, lohi. That's not a proof, Shmuel. Tzanun net e inshe adaiti de pulgla." when you plant a radish, you plant the radish because you know you want to eat it in its softened state. That's why you're an idiot. That's the final status. Dikla, but the tree bark, lo nate inishadaiti dekore. You didn't plant it. You didn't plant it because you wanted the root. You just decided that you could eat a piece of the root. So therefore, it's neither the product that you wanted, and it gets hard at the end, and therefore I can't call it a pera. I have to, just because something turns hard at the end doesn't mean that if it's edible now, it's a fruit. That's only if I plant it for the sake of eating it that way. But if I don't plant it for the sake of eating it that way, then I don't do such a thing. So the Gemara says, are you telling me that if a person doesn't plant something, dafka to get that produce, I don't make a bracha except for shach only b'ro? And that's the argument here. Gemara says, v'hari tzalav, there's a tree called the tzalav. Denate inshe adaiti de parcha. Somebody plants it specifically because they want the coconuts or whatever it is. It's actually, it's tamarim, if I'm not mistaken. It's a date tree. Vitznan, and we learned in a bright or a mishnah, al mine nifza nitzpa. Nitzpa is a tzalaf. On the various types of tzalaf, this date tree, I think, al ha'olin v'ala tzmarot, whether you eat the leaves, whether you eat the fruits, omer borei priadama, you say borei priadama, v'ala evyoni v'ala kafrisim. The evyonim and the kafrisim are an evyonim is the actual fruit that I want. So when I said dates on tomorrow before, that's a byproduct. Even though it's an edible byproduct, it's a byproduct of the tree. People are planting the tree for the evyonim and the kafrisim. So on the evyonim and the kafrisim, evyonim are like the inside, the actual fruit that I'm eating, and kafrisim are like shells that are around it that are edible. Think of a sort of like almond shells, which are soft and green at the beginning, and therefore you could eat them, I think. Yeah. So therefore, on those two things, since those are the actual fruit that you're eating, say Bray Pre eats. But on the other two things, which are on the aling, which are on the actual leaves, and the tamara, which are a second fruit byproduct, I say Bray Pre Adama. I didn't plant it for the aling and the tamara, but I decided to eat it. But because it was edible, I didn't say Shakolni Evero, because it was perfectly edible, I say Bray Pre Ha'adama, which means I'll agree with you that it's not your main produce of the tree. And therefore, I'm not going to say Bray Pre Eitz, but I could certainly say Bray Pre Adama. Don't tell me that just because something is not the main produce, that I have to say Shakolni Evero, which is a question. Now, what about the bark of young trees, which is animals? So the Gemara says, nah. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tzalaf Nate Inche Adaite the Shuta. You planting a tree to get out of it. Shuta means edibility. I want to get out of it whatever I can that's edible. Dikla, but that first one, which I planted, and now all of a sudden I'm eating the bark off of it, lo nate inshi adaita dekura, which means I didn't eat. That is, I knew when I was planting this tzalaf that I would get something out of it. So whatever I got out of it, I'm a happy camper, even if it's not the main thing. But in this case, I had no intention whatsoever. Now, Rashi adds in here, if I'm not mistaken, that actually you're doing damage to the tree. The reason why you don't have... It's not that you just didn't intend to eat it, because the truth is you didn't intend to eat the alim of the tzalaf tree. But I could eat the alif of the tzalaf tree. It doesn't hurt it. So therefore, I say, Abrei Pradama. But here, you're ripping the bark off of a main tree. Even though it's edible, you're doing damage to the tree. Therefore, it's not only that I didn't have intention to do it, but I dafka had intention not to do it. And therefore, since I had an anti-intention... Normal people don't rip apart their tree barks for food, therefore there's no way that you could say a bari pri adama, and you have to rely on a shakol. Afagav dekal say dishma. So the question is, who's right? So the Gemara says, Afagav dekal say Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda, even though Shmuel said Rav Yehuda is right, hilchata kavati the Shmuel. We actually pass him like Shmuel, and the answer according to Shmuel is that it is, if I'm not mistaken, a shakol. Nihia bidvaro, for the reasons given, because not only did you not plant it for the bark, you're doing damage. You're actually doing damage when you take the bark. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Let's go back a little. Salaf shal orla bechutz laretz zorek et evyonot v'ochal et kafrisim. Now, if you remember what we just said before, is we didn't distinguish between evyonot and kafrisim. Evyonot would be like the nuts, and kafrisim would be the thick green shells which are around the nuts. And both of them were considered brei priya eitz. Here, though, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says in Chutz La'aretz, Orla. Now, Orla, let's just quickly review Orla. Orla would be the first 3 years of a tree, when it's either the first 3 years of its growth or the first 3 years of its fruit growth. I believe we paskin growth and not fruit growth. You have to take the fruit and you give it away to Kohanim, or you trade it in for money that you take to Beit HaMikdash. But either way, you're not allowed to eat it, only a Kohen. It's only accessible to a Kohen. Today, I think we just leave it to rot, if I'm not mistaken. So in this case, the evyonot I have to throw away, But the kafrisim I'm allowed to eat. What does that prove? That proves that the kafrisim are not really a main fruit of the tree. Because if they were main fruit of the tree, they would fall under the law of orla of peirot. So since they're not a main part, the obvious question, lemeimra devyono peiri, v'kafrisim la peiri. The Gemara says, Reminu, I'll ask you an obvious question. Almine, I have a braita that we just learned before. Almine, nifatz ala alim vala tzmar and omer brei priadama. Vala evyonim vala kafrisim omer brei priadama. That means that it is a main fruit. So if it's a main fruit, you say brei priadama. If it's not a main fruit, you shouldn't say a brei priadama. But on the other hand, by orla, if it's a main fruit, you shouldn't be able to eat it. If it's not a main fruit, you should be able to eat it. In the case by orla, it looks like it's not a main fruit. It's not a fruit. It shouldn't be considered a fruit. But by the case of a bracha, it is considered a fruit. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, Ahu de Amar Karebi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda, by orla, is really passing like Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva hold? It's not Rabbi Eliezer. Omer, Salaf mit aser tamarot ve'evyonim ve'kafrisim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when you have a tzalaf tree, you have to give maser on the tamarot, the evyonim, and the kafrisim. That is, he's considering kafrisim to be a fruit. Rabbi Akiva omer, ein mit aser ela evyonim bilvad mipnei shu pri. Which means it's a machloket. I got two opinions. I got Rabbi Eliezer who says kafrisin is part of a fruit, and I got Rabbi Akiva who says that it's not part of a fruit. So apparently by brachot, I'm holding like Rabbi Eliezer, but by orla, he's holding like Rabbi Akiva. Gemara says, wait, if that's true, v'neima halach Rabbi Akiva, he can't say what he said without quoting a source. That would be plagiarism. If he's holding like Rabbi Akiva, he has to say like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no, Iyam or Halakha Rabbi Kiva, if I stated Rabbi Halakha Rabbi Kiva, Havi Amin Afilu Ba'aretz. I would have thought even in Eretz Israel, you're allowed to eat the kafrisim. You're allowed to eat the kafrisim because they're not considered fruit. Kamash Malan, Kola Mekil Ba'aretz, Hilchato Kamoto B'chutz La'aretz, Aval Ba'aretz Lo. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that my words only apply in Chutz La'aretz. Only in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Akiva always says you're allowed to eat the kafrisim. Whether you're in Chutz La'aretz, whether you're not in Chutz La'aretz, because Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that kafrisim are fruits, and therefore if they're not a fruit, they don't apply. Rabbi Eliezer says they are a fruit, which means according to him in Chutz La'aretz it would be not okay to eat, you'd have to throw it away, and in Eretz Yisrael. But what's happening is that by not quoting Rabbi Akiva, apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if I quoted Rabbi Akiva, you would say like Rabbi Akiva all the time, both in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael. Here, what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm holding, because Rabbi Akiva is Mekil in Eretz Yisrael, when I go to Chutz La'aretz, Orla is only a Drabanan anyway. Right? Orla only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, since it could be that Rabbi Akiva is right, and he's Mekil, and now I'm in Chutz La'aretz, and it's only Drabanan anyway, then I'm allowed to hold to Rabbi Akiva. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, not so fast, Rabbi Yehuda. If that was your logic that you want everybody to figure out, so say so. So don't say I hold like Rabbi Akiva. Say I hold like Rabbi Akiva, but only in Chutz La'aretz because Rabbi Akiva is Mekil everywhere. That's my rules. State your rules. What are you being vague for? The Gemara says no. If he went out of his way to say he's holding like Rabbi Akiva, even though where he's not holding like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to hold like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz because Rabbi Akiva is Mekil in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz only to Rabbanan. He says, "I amar hachi hava aminahan hachi nami gabi maser ilan de be'eretz gufun Rabbanan." There's another din called maser ilan. Now we were talking about orla. Orla is diaraita in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanan outside of Eretz Yisrael. The rabbis also established an idea called maser ilan. Now you don't have to give maser ilan at all to Levim. You do not have to. Levim get 1/10 of your grain product, and they get 1/10 of your grapes product. But they do not get 1/10 of the fruits popping off your tree. Derabbanan, they establish you get 1/10 popping off the tree. So therefore, if I would have said that my logic is like Rabbi Akiva, and since Rabbi Akiva is Mekel everywhere, I'm going to be Mekel everywhere, it's Derabbanan, you might have thought that that means I want you to be Mekel and be able to eat Kafrisim, not only outside of Eretz Yisrael by Orla, but inside of Eretz Yisrael in the rabbinic law of Maaser. And I do not say that. I do not say that. I've got to be Orla, Deberetz Midiraita, Eime B'chutz La'aretz Nami. Wait, I read that wrong. I amar hachi hava mina hachi hani mili gabi maser ilan de beretz gufam de rabbanan. Aval gabi orla de beretz midiraita em vuchutzari namig zu kamalan. Yeah, but he stated specifically it wasn't. All right, it's going a different way. It's saying that since maser Meiser, I wouldn't have held that way because it's Rabbanim even in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, I wouldn't assume that you give Meiser outside of Eretz Yisrael for Kafrisin. But since Orla and Eretz Yisrael is Diyaraita, I have to be Machmir also. I have to say, I don't understand that so much, and I'll tell you why. Because Rabbi Yehuda specifically is not talking about Meiser, he's talking about Orla in the previous idea. And if he's talking about Orla, and then he says, I'm going to be making like Rabbi Akiva Chutzarts, why would anybody jump to the conclusion that you wouldn't be making? I talk have a problem with this Gemara. I mean, I understand, the way I explained it is the way it reads. So I think we've satisfied our din when it comes to our requirements, when it comes to Daf Yomi. But I have to say that I don't understand why you would have jumped to that conclusion when he says the opposite. I'm just going to look at Rashi for a second. I think we should leave it as a idea. I think if we have time, we'll come back to it. But otherwise, we'll get stuck. It's a very difficult piece of Gemara, I think, unless I'm learning it wrong. Gemara says, Ravina Ashkal Amar Bered Rav Ashka Zark If Yonim Kachal Kafrisin. So Ravina actually found a Mar Bered Rav Ashi, and what he would do is he would throw away the Avyonot, and he would eat the Kafrisin. This is like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva said the Kafrisin were okay, not a problem of Orla, because you're in Chutz Lartz. Actually, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's okay. So Ravina says to him, what's your thinking here? Rabbi Akiva de Mekil. So you're figuring Rabbi Akiva is Mekil, and therefore I'm going to pass like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz, just like Rabbi Yehuda was saying. That is, I want to say that Rabbi Akiva, since Rabbi Akiva holds that Kafrisim even in Eretz Yisrael okay, therefore I'm in Chutz La'aretz, I'm going to be Mekil like Rabbi Akiva, even though we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, I'm going to be Mekil like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz because that's okay. So the Gemara says, V'le'avid kamar kebet shamay de Mekil tveh. If you're going to be Mekil, then go all the way. Why are you stopping Rabbi Akiva? I got a better cooler for you. Ditznan, it says, Salaf Beit Shammai Armin Kilayim Bekerem. According to Beit Shammai, Tzlaf is Kilayim Bekerem, which means you're not allowed to plant it Kilayim. They're talking not about the whole Tzlaf, they're talking about the Kafrisim here. Beit Shammai holds that the Kafrisim are Kalayim Bikarim. And the only way to be Kalayim Bikarim is if it's a real fruit. Beit Hillel Omrim Ein Kalayim Bikarim. Beit Hillel says they are not considered to be Kalayim Bikarim because they're not a fruit. Eilu ve'eilu modim shechayev ba'orla. They both say you're chayev Kafrisim by Orla, which is more machmer than Rabbi Akiva. But wait a second. Haguf Akasha. You're contradicting yourself. Because why? Haguf ka amarta tzalaf beit shami Omrim Kalayim Bikarim alma min yeriku. Oh, I apologize. It's the other way around. Beit Shammai can only say it's Kilayim Bekerem because it's not a fruit. Not because it is a fruit, because it's not a fruit. Kilayim Bekerem only applies not to fruit, but only applies to plants like wheat and barley and vegetation, not to fruit. V'hadar tanu elu elu modim shechaya ba'orla alma min ilahu. The only time you're chaya for orla is when it's a fruit. It's a type of tree. The only time that you're chaya for Kilayim Bekerem is when it's a type of vegetable. So how could Beit Shammai say both? So the Gemara says, "Halo kasha Beit Shammai svukim sapkeluhu va'avde hacha lechumra v'hach lechumra," which means he was machmer. He wasn't sure whether kafrisim were vegetation and therefore chayav b'kilayim, or and therefore they would be mutter by orla, or whether they were fruit and therefore they would be chayav for orla but mutter by kilayakarim. So therefore he nailed you on both. A classic Beit Shammai, if you don't mind me saying. I don't know, so I'm going to take the chumras of both worlds. When it comes to orla, I'm going to treat it like a fruit and it's aser. When it comes to kilai karam, I'm going to treat it like it's a vegetable and it's aser. The Gemara says, "Mikol makom the Beit Shammai havi sveika la orla." But either way, we could prove from this that Beit Shammai feels it's only a suffik orla. V'tanan suffik orla beretz Yisrael aser b'suria mutter ubechutzars yole yorei v'lokeach ubelvad shelo yiranu locate. So in Israel, a Safek Orla, you can't touch. In Syria, you could touch it. In Chutz La'aretz, you can go out. Not only can you buy it if you've already... In Syria, it's b'diavad, okay, which means you're not supposed to go out of your way to take that Orla for Safek Orla. But if it winds up in your refrigerator or in your food, you're allowed to use it. But if you're in actual Chutz La'aretz, then you can actually go down the fields and pick a piece of Safek Orla, such as Kafrisim. And you can eat the chachil as long as you didn't see him specifically planting it that way. As long as you're not sure if positive, it's not oral, I think. So Rabbi Kiva says, "Makom Rabbi Elazar of Dina Kavatei Beit Shammai Makom Beit Hillel Ein Mishnah." So the answer is obvious. Beit Shammai really lets you be mekil because Beit Shammai says not only Rabbi Akiva says that it may be a fruit, But I don't care because I don't care. But whether you're in Eretz Israel, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva says that it is certainly not a fruit. Because whether I'm in Eretz Israel or whether I'm not in Eretz Israel, I'm allowed to take Kafrisim. And therefore, when I'm not in Eretz Israel, I hold like Rabbi Akiva. Beit Shammai says, forget about whether it's a fruit or vegetable. Beit Shammai doesn't even know whether it's a fruit or vegetable. What Beit Shammai does know, it's a Suffolk Orlin. Suffolk Orlin is more mutter. It's not only that you can eat it if you get your hands on it, you can actually go out of your way and get your hands on it. So why don't you be Makel like Beit Shammai if you're already going to be Makel? So the answer is, Rabbi Akiva, I'm willing to be Makel like. But Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to be Makel like. If you have Beit Shammai against Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai's Makil, you're not allowed to take a kula that we don't pass like. But Rabbi Akiva, him, you're allowed to be Makil against Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, wait a second, V'teipukla dinase shomer lepri v'rachmana mar var lartem aloto et pirio et atafel pirio umaynin hu shomer lepri. Wait a second. You're trying to figure out where the kafrisim, again, kafrisim are the shell that's around the almond, let's say. And you're trying to figure out, is it fruit or is it not fruit? I don't know. Maybe it is fruit, maybe it's not. And I can't tell with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva always holds that it's not fruit. But on the other hand, the only reason I'm holding like him is because I'm in Chutz Laretz. So I'm really being Makel, but I'm still not sure. Bein Shammai is not sure either, and I'm going back and forth. And the bottom line is, do I say, what's the key issue, by the way? If it's a fruit, what bracha do I make? Bar Pre'etz. But if it's a vet, but if it's not a fruit, it's just an edible byproduct, then I say Bar Pre'etz. Still, the question is, what bracha do I make? So the answer is, you're trying to figure it out from Orla. Forget the Orla thing. The Orla thing you can't tell because I got all kinds of coolas I may be going for in Suffolks and it's Chutz Laretz and Orla's not Chayav Diyaret anymore. Let's get back to the actual Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk actually says that it comes to Pre, when it comes to Orla, it says V'orlatem Orlato et Pirio. What are you supposed to take the orla of? You're supposed to take the orla of its fruit. Why do I have to say the orla of its fruit? I know the orla of its fruit. So the Gemara says, et atafil lepir yo. What is the word et? That is, I say v'orla tam orla to et pir yo. So essentially, I have two things that I'm being mitarel. There are two things I'm leaving alone. Either the word orla to is redundant, or the word pir yo is redundant. What do I need to say? You take its orla. It's fruit. Now, it's true. It doesn't say, and it's fruit. That would be a lock that's talking about two different things. But it doesn't say, you take the orla, it's fruit. So what is the fact that I use redundant orla tov et pirio, et atafil pirio? What does that mean? It doesn't just mean it's fruit. It means the fruit surrounding the fruit. That is, the shell, which is secondary to the fruit, think the soft shell that's around the almond. Umayni, who shomer the pri? The only thing which is tafil to a fruit that grows on the tree is the shell. An orange peel. A banana peel may not be edible at all, so that maybe that's not a good thing. But an almond or that type of shell, where at one point the shell is quite edible. Gemara says, "Amar Rava Hecha Amrinan the Nasa Shomer the Pri Hecha Da Atia Ben Talush Ben Mechubar Hacha Mechubar Ita Betalush Leta." Where did we say that it's a shomer? That's only where it exists, whether it is whether it's attached to the tree or not attached to the tree. But over here by the kafrisim, while it's on the tree, it's surrounding the nut. But once it's off the tree, it turns quickly into a piece of hard shell. So it's true. If I go and I pick an almond from a tree and stick it into my mouth, I can eat both the almond at that point and the shell. And in that case, it is a shomer. But the bottom line is, the only time that the pasuk was saying that is when it was talking about when it was connected to the tree. But if I have a situation where I have a shomer of a fruit that doesn't survive on the fruit once you take it off. And I think Rashi doesn't even say like I'm saying by almonds. Apparently this shell actually split away. Rashi mentions that. Hold on a second. Yeah, it's the last wide line of Rashi at the top. He says, "Batalush leta sofo shenofil hameno kishemigil het bashel." When the almond, or whatever the fruit is, I don't want to say almond anymore, whatever the fruit is that's inside ripens, the shell actually cracks away by itself. Now, I don't know if this is really an almond shell. I don't know, does anybody know of like something that grows on a tree where once it ripens, the inside nut or the inside fruit, the outer shell actually cracks away and dies? Pistachio nuts? Does it open? I always thought it opens up because we roast it. It opens up by itself? I never knew that. I always thought that we went through a roasting process. Or so why otherwise are some like really closed and you need like a hammer to open them? Those are the black sheep. Those
they send away and they call in AOL artificial milk.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay, so
the crack is somewhere else than the mouth.
I see. It's like a processing machine that distinguishes between the two.
Send them to China, and they crack them and they send them back here.
No kidding. That's it. And it's still worth the cost of the shipping to China and the shipping back. That's very interesting. I finally figured out, by the way, the best way to get those ones open, if they just have a little thing, is my box flip. I get them there. So this pistachios may be the case. So since the shell is only survived, but are pistachio shells soft enough on the tree that they're edible?
No.
Okay, so we're still looking for something where it's soft enough to be edible and to be considered fruit-like and viable, but not soft, but not to the point where it survives. It could still be almond shells, because maybe they're thinking that once the almond shell hardens, Rashi says it falls away automatically. But the Gemara may have in mind, and Rashi may have in mind, that it doesn't fall away automatically, but once it hardens, you got to crack it off to get to the fruit. So it may be that still almonds are the best scenario. But either way, I think the point is obvious. That is by that pasuk when it was saying that you have to watch the shomer. And this is true, by the way. If I have orla, I may not pluck the orange, and let's say I want to make orange scents or something from orange peels. I'm not allowed to do that. The orange peel is as much of a part of the orange because it's the shomer of the orange because it survives whether it's on the tree or whether it's off the tree. But when it comes to, let's say, almonds, assuming that that's a good case, because the almonds are useless once it's off the tree, again, I'm theorizing, but if I want to abstract, in the case of the tzalaf kafrisim, whatever that is, because they become useless once it... Can I see?
I was gonna try to read it.
I got confused with the two pies in a row.
It's a caparis. I don't know what that. I don't know what a caper. Maybe like a pan. No, it can't be a pan.
He
says a berry.
Yeah, but I don't. Understand what a berry has a shell on it.
Maybe it's a thick shell, like any berries with like a thick shell around them, like a. All right, so be it as it may. Be as it may. I'm not sure what kaparis is. I don't think there's a Greek dictionary here. And found an internet connection. We can look it up. But whatever. We'll have to look up kaparis. Anyway, so the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Hacham. Okay, so that we read. So the Gemara says, Eitive, I got a question for you. Abaye pitma shel rimon mitzdarefet. The pitom of a pomegranate is included in mitzdarefet is referring to... L'kibetza l'tuma ochlin. That is, ochlin apparently is only tame at a certain size. So I take the pitom of the rimon and I include it in the size of things, which means essentially this pitom, which sticks off the pre, is considered a part of the pre. Hanetshalo eino mitzdarefet. But the crown is not mitzdarefet. Now, I'm not an expert on rimonium, but I'm thinking maybe if I think about a rimon, there's the shell. I think that may be the pitom. And the nates is that part that comes up, and it's like, it goes out like a, it kind of, what's that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And the
nates is just that little tiny, it's the stamen. The nates is the stamen. Oh, so the pitom is part of it, but the stamen is not part. It's like a flower or something. Ah, very interesting. Good. Good for Rabbi Steinsaltz. So, Manet e mitzdarif. Me, the Ka'amar, Anet e mitzdarif. From the fact that I know the Nate's not mitzdarif, Alma de lav ochahu. I could tell that it's not considered food. Vitana, Gabi Orla, Klipe Rimon, Vanet Shalo, Klipe Gozen, Vagarim, Chayuba Orlam. But wait a second. I just said that Nate's here is considered part of the Orla. You're not allowed to take the Nate's and make, I don't know, whatever spices out of them or add them to your soup or whatever it is. So now I got a problem. So Gemara says, Ella Rabba. Oh, hold on. So I made a little note for myself here because I didn't understand this Gemara the first time. I wrote, but the nates does not fall off, yet it must be considered protection for its fruit, since certainly it isn't fruit proper. How can Rabba then say that kafrisim doesn't count? Oh, that's the question. In this case, nates is considered food. Sorry. Nates is not considered food, but it is considered orla. It is considered orla, even though it's not considered fruit. So how can Rava say, what did Rava say before? Rava said just before that when you have a shell which doesn't survive on the fruit after it's taken off, Remember, we were trying to prove the kafrisim. We said, no, it's not a valid case, because where we said, that pasuk said that you have to wash out for the fruit and its shell. So therefore, it proves that you're supposed to say brei pri ha'etz, because it's considered part of the fruit. And then we said, no, there's a difference. When that pasuk was saying that that applied to orlan, that it's a fruit, then therefore that was only in a case where the shell survives. But where the shell doesn't survive, then it's not considered under that pasuk. But wait a second. I have a case of netz, which is not mitzaref to the ochlin of the tumat ochlin of the food. The pitma, that little crown that comes off, that is considered part of the food. But the stamen that comes off, the netz comes off, is not considered part of the food. And nonetheless, it's considered part of orla, and the stamen certainly falls off. Once I take the fruit off, once it dries up, that little stamen piece, it just falls right off. And therefore, you told me that if a piece of shell falls off after it comes off the tree, therefore it doesn't fall under the orla rubric. And yet here I have the nates, which definitely falls off, and yet it still falls under the orla rubric. And therefore, I guess kafrisim should also. So where it says, Ela Amar Rava, Rava changes the tune. Heichadar min nasa lehu shomer lepeiri. Where do I mean that something has to be a shomer lepeiri, which means that it's chaya ba'orla, just like the fruit is protecting? Heichad de'itya b'shag gmar pira. That's only where it's still around when the fruit ripens. Hai kafris leta b'shag gmar pira. But the kafris, by the time the almond ripens, so to speak, the shell is already cracked off. Again, I don't think it's an almond, whatever it is. The stamen, however, stays along as long as... It doesn't protect it. It's not considered part of the food, but at least it sticks. At least it's there. And it's there at the time when the fruit goes. Maybe it dries off afterwards, but it stays with it as long as it's healthy and still growing. But by the case of the kafrisim, by the time the peri comes to fruit, to full fruition, the kafris has already fallen off, and therefore it can't be considered a shomer, and therefore it's not chaya ba'orla. The Gemara says, Ini? Is that so? V'hamar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravuha. Hani mitchale de orla asiri hoil v'nasu shomer lepira. V'shomer lepiri emat have bekufra v'kakari le shomer peri. And I made a note for myself, thank goodness, because this is a difficult piece of Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Avuha, Hani mitchale de orla. What is mitchali de orla? I'm sorry, I didn't make a note for myself what it meant. Bitzmari kekafras bitzlaf. Bitkufra mishat sanim domim kodem bishulam. Hani, oh, I see. Mitchali de orla. I'm sorry, I'm going to ask for help in the English here. What does it mean, hani mitchali de orla? What is a mitchale? I can't get my bead on what it is. Some kind of shomer to a fruit. Rashi says mitchale. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It says bitmare. Oh, I see. He says it is to the tamar, to the date tree, what a kafras is to the tzlaf tree. It's whatever tchale is. It's some kind of shell around the dates. Okay. Some protection. Hol v'nasu shomer lepeiri. V'shomer l'peiri emat havi. When does it become a shomer to the peiri? V'kufra v'kakari le shomer l'pri. Which means the only time it's there is apparently this tchale only exists on these tamarim when they're in their young stage, but not when they're in their fully ripened stage. So what is this? That's what the English says, that the tchale is their only protection in the pre-ripe stage. Is that, that's what it says? So therefore, that doesn't prove anything. Once again, we're back to the... So in this... And what do we say? We said aser ba'orla. What's that? The unripened days, not the ripened days. And therefore, what's the difference between that and the tzlaf's, the kafris and the tzlaf? It's also protection for the tree, but it doesn't last all the way through. You, Rava, tried to change your tune. You want to say, it didn't have a difference about whether it was hard in the end or whether it was going to harden away. The question was, did it live with the fruit until times of ripeness? But you can't do that, because here's the case of tchalis, of a tamar tree, of a day tree, and they don't stay with it the whole way, and they're us or orlis. Rav Nachman, so the Gemara says, no, don't worry about it. Rav Nachman, Savarlake, Rav Yossi, the time of Yossi, Omer Smadar, Asor, Mipneishu, Peiri, Upligi, Rabban Ale. So it's a machloket. It's a machloket. Rav Nachman here says that the tchale of the is usher in orla, these little date protectors. because they hold like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says a smadar is asor because it is type of a fruit. Now, a smadar is a flower of some sort, I think. Hold on a second. They're anavim, kevan shenafal apera v'chol agir, nera latzmo kari le smadar. There's some type of early grapes or grape shells. Is that how the English has smadar?
Unripened
grapes. Is that what it says? The word smadar. It says, Rav Nachman Savar Le Kirevi Yossi. It's not... What are they?
Grape buds,
right. Some type of unripened grape status. And that's Rav Yossi's opinion. But Rabbanan hold that grape buds are not okay, and therefore neither would be this Tchalei D'Orla, which is the Tamarim protectors in their baby state, and neither would be our original question, which is the Kafrisim, which is around a Tzlaf. So let's continue on. So the Gemara says, no, Matkiflei Rav Shimi Minardaya Ubishari Lani Mipligi Rabbanan Le. Wait a second. I know Rabbanan don't agree with Yossi when it comes to Smadar, but everybody else they agree with him that unripened protectors or unripened are considered part of Orla. When am I not allowed to cut down a tree in Shvit? Now, what the issue here is, if you have a fruit tree, you're never allowed to cut it down. It's usher to cut down a fruit tree. Unless the fruit are bad or the wood is more valuable than the fruit tree. In that case, you're allowed to cut it down because it's not considered Baal Tashchit. But the only time that you're not allowed to cut it down for its wood is on Shvit. On Shvit, that is, on Shemitah year, you have to let the tree live no matter what whatever it is. So Beit Shammai, I'm calling you now, Mishayatsu. Beit Shammai says, as soon as anything comes off the tree, you're not allowed to touch the tree on Shvit. We can't cut it down. Beit Hillel omrim achurba achruvim mishe yishrishu. Wait a second. The carob trees, only when they start to have a lot of dangling shells. You've seen carob trees, right? They have those dangling things. Hagifanim mishe yirgu. The gifanim, when they yigru, when they become bad. Now we don't know what that is. The Gemara is going to explain what that means in a bit. Vazetim mishe yanitsu. And the zetim, when they are, again, it's some kind of growth state, early growth state. Vishar kola ilanot mishe yotziya, which means by the rest of ilanot, as soon as the tree starts to bud, they are considered to be non-touchable during Shvit. On the other three things, I need some kind of growth. I need either chaining or some kind of status. I need to get some real fruit out before I can consider the tree untouchable. V'amar avasi, hu boser, hu garua, hu pul halavan. What do they mean by garua? That's boser. A boser, by the way, is an unripe grape when it's still whitish. You know those small grapes that never really grow? They hang on into the shell and you pick them and they're bitter. That's boser. And that's also pul halavan. So the Gemara says, pul halavan sakadaita? Wait a second. Pul halavan are beans. That's white beans. What does that have to do with grapes? So the Gemara says, ela ema shirok pul halavan. He didn't mean to say what Beit Hillel says, that you need to get the grapes growing at least as much as pul halavan. If they haven't grown to pul halavan, that doesn't mean that they turned into beans. That means the size of these little white beans. If they've turned into the size of the white beans, that's what Beit Hillel meant by garua, and that's what we mean by boser. Once that happens, you're not allowed to cut down the vineyard. But before that, you're allowed to cut down the vineyard if you can make money from the woods. So man shamit le damer boser in smadar lo. No, but you were trying to tell me over there that this smadar, that Rav Nachman, who says that a date tree that has its mini protectors is according to Pitutinia Rav Yossi, who says that smadars are considered orla limited, and Rabbanan say that a smadar is not considered orla limited, it's considered nothing. And then you want to apply the argument that they had by smadar, whether smadar is orla limited, to kafrisim and to tamarim and all kinds of other things. But here we just proved in the statement that they're not arguing about. The only case they argue is about a smadar. How do I know that? Because if they argued more than smadar, then the rabbi would have jumped all over this. They would have jumped all over this. They would have said that even when the grape bud grows the little tiniest grape, that's it. But the fact that they didn't say that, they obviously need something more substantial, and therefore they do not agree with Rabbi. The only time that they strike that, reverse it. The only time they disagree is by smadar. But everywhere else, they would agree that a na'at, right, because not boser is not ripe yet. Right. Boser is not ripe yet. And yet, Rabbi Kiva says that even though it's only grown boser, see, if you hold like Beit Shammai, you don't have any issue. Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to cut down the tree on Shvi'it as soon as it, little tiny bud, because he's not really interested in what's actually produced. He's interested in the fact that it's produced something. The other opinion, Beit Hillel says, no, I need something for these three types of things, for carobs, for grapes, and for zeitim, I need something I can get my teeth into. But in all those three cases where I need something I can get my teeth into, I do not need the full substance to get my teeth into. Just anything applies as fruit. Now, if Rabbi Akiva, if the Rabbanan would have said that only a full-fledged fruit is considered a fruit and everything less is not considered fruit, then he should have jumped all over this. He said, no, wait a second, Rabbi Akiva, you're wrong. Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, you're wrong. The only time I can't down a gefanim tree is when I have full-sized grapes, not when I have little mini grapes. Little mini grapes are not considered grapes unless mini grapes are considered grapes. And if mini grapes are considered grapes and smadars are considered smadars, therefore tamarim protectors should be considered tamarim protectors even though they don't stay with it all the way through growth. And kafrisim, remember the kafrisim, all the way back to kafrisim, should also be considered part of the shomer of the tzlaf tree, even though they shell off before they get fully ripe, and therefore they should be chayav ba'orla and not mutter ba'orla, and possibly you should say bray pray eitz on them also, and not bray pray adamas. The Gemara says no. Ela amar Rava. Rava is going to change his tune again. Rav is going to say, Amrin and Havi, Shomer Lepri. When do we say Shomer Lepri? It has nothing to do with ripeness. It has nothing to do about whether the shell gets hard or whether it doesn't get hard. What does it have to do with? Hechi dechi shechaltele, the Shomer, mayit pira. Hachi chi shechaltele, lo mayit pira. In the case of the Shomer of the fruit, if you peel the fruit's got to die. Then it's considered. Then that fruit shell is considered an integral part of the fruit. But apparently, by the case of kafrisim, you could shell them and eat them, and whatever's underneath, the almonds or whatever it is, will grow to their heart's content. Maybe bugs will eat them, maybe something else, maybe they'll be more weather-beaten, but they will still grow without the shell. So the only time, and therefore, they are very different than the other cases, because by the other cases, if you peeled it, the inner fruit would die. Case of rimon. You peel the case of the rimon will not survive. But apparently, if I peel the kafrisim off of the tzlaf, whatever the fruit is there will certainly survive and therefore cannot be considered shomer. Therefore, I don't take orla, and apparently, therefore, well, I don't know whether it applies to bird prey eats, but you don't take orla because it's not considered part of the trees. The Gemara says, Havi uvda v'shaklun la nates. Guess what? There was a case and they took the nates off. Dirmona v'yavesh rimona. They took the nates off the rimona. The nates was the crown, by the way. And when they took the crown off, not the crown, the stamen. When they took the stamen off, the rimona actually dried up. V'shaklu the pircha debitit ve'akayim bitit. And there was another case where they had a pircha of a bitita, and when they took it off, it in fact did survive. So they showed in one case. And that's why, if you remember, they said nates does not count for ochel. Remember, we said it doesn't mean kabbaltuma. But the nates is part of Orland. They actually had a case where they took off a nates and the fruit actually died without the stamen. I suppose that's true. I'm not an agriculturist. But when it came to this other case called the bitita, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the kafrisin, they took off the bitita. Am I right? I think bitita is another word for kafrisin. Does it say there what bitita is? It would only make sense. Yeah, there's evyonot. Bitata the evyonot. The evyonot are the fruit of the tzlaf tree that the kafrisim are covering. So in this case, they uncovered the evyonot. That's the bitata. They took the klifim off, and the bitata lived just fine. The tzlaf fruit, i.e. the evyonim, lived just fine. Prove in point that it's not orla. Now, the Gemara has in parentheses, v'hilchata, kimar, berei, deravashi, dezark, devyonot, v'achata, kafrisin. That's by Orla. When Gabi Orla lav pira, they're not considered pira ninhu. Lagabi peirot nami lav pira ninhu. V'lo mevarchem lev bar pira eitz elo bar pira damas. So they pass on the same rule by Orla. But I have to tell you, all this is in parentheses, and therefore there's no reason to assume I think there's every reason to assume that this is not accurate Gemara. Mm-hmm. My guess is the real halacha is that it's not orla, because it's not considered fruit, but it is bari priya eitz, because you grew the eitz to eat the kafrisim as well, even though it's not really a fruit, it's a vegetable. And just because something's not a fruit for orla does not mean that you don't say bari priya eitz. And my guess is that this halacha is not only shouldn't be in the Gemara, but my guess is that the halacha is wrong, but I'm sure the Rishonim talk about it. Gemara says, pilpul, sorry, I'm going to run through, I know we're running pretty late. Pilpul, Rabbi Sheshet, Amar, Shakol, Rav Amar, Loklum. So when it comes to peppers, and this is the pepper corns, the seeds, so Rabbi Sheshet said Shakol, and Rav said no. So the Gemara says, Azal, Rav Tamei, Damar, Rav Kas, Pilpul, if you're chewing on pilpul, Biyom de Kippur and Pater, you're not chayiv for eating on Yom Kippur. Because the zvingla biyom de Kippur Pater, and if you eat zvingla is what's that? Ginger, right? If you're eating ginger, which is a root, then you're also not chayiv. It looks sort of like the truth is ginger looks sort of like a myrrh, if you look at it in a way. It's like this white root, doesn't taste good. So meiteve haya Rav Meir Omer. Rav Meir says we got a question. It says Orlatam Orlato et Pirio. I didn't know that an eitz is why did I say Pirio? I know that it's a fruit tree. Elamatamalar eitz macha lahavi eitz tam eitzo Pirio shaveh. So what? Why did they say Orlatem Orlato Pirio? Now, if you remember, the last time we did Orlatam et Pirio, how did we learn the word? Orlato et Pirio. We learned that includes the fruit plus the shomer. Now, according to Rameir, he learns a different thing from Orlato et Pirio. He learns it's the fruit or and the body of the plant if it tastes like the fruit. That's what it's talking about. The ezehu zeapilpulin, because the peppers taste just like the fruit that it grows. L'lamadcha shapiltimin chayim ba'orla. And therefore, the peppercorns, you have to give orlan also. L'lamadcha she'in Eretz Yisrael chaser ha'klum. And it also teaches another beautiful thing, that Eretz Yisrael, you want for nothing. Shne'emar Eretz asher lo b'miskanot ochal b'lechem lo techzar kol ba. The Pasuk then says, you don't need any, even the peppers are edible. You could eat not only it's like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. Remember when they're walking through and they're eating the things off the trees? Just like that. Not only could you, in Eretz Yisrael, not only could you eat the fruit, but you could chow down on the trees. There's always enough food. Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara then says, Lo kasha haber, so what's the problem? According to Rava said it's not food. But according to Rav Meir, not only is it food, but you take orla on it. And the Pasuk says not only is it food, but the Torah blesses you with the fact that it gives you this pepper food. So how can you say that? You don't make any bracha whatsoever. The verse says, Lo kasha haber ritva habiyifshta. When he says that you're not chayiv on Yom Kippur and you're not supposed to make a bracha on it, that's when it's a dry peppercorn, like a solid peppercorn that you grind up. But if you just take a pepper off a tree, off of a vine, and you open it up, and inside you have soft seeds, beritva, that's when it's fresh pepper, as opposed to hardened pepper. Amrilei, so in the case of fresh pepper, where it's nice and soft and you can chew on it, then you say a shakol, I assume, or a burpi adama, in fact. But when it's dried up, then you say Asha Kol Nacha, and you give Orla. But in the other case, but once it dries up, then not only do you, maybe you give Orla anyway, because Orla was Chayiv on it right away. So maybe even after it hardens, you give Orla, but you're certainly not Chayiv on Yom Kippur, because it's no longer food. So Amile Rabban Lamar Emar, Kasas Vingla Biyomadi Kippuri Pater. Wait a second. You're telling me that you chow down on vinegar, on ginger, on Yom Kippur? You're okay? Vamarav Ha Milta Da'ati Me Bei Hanu Dai. They brought from the place of Hanudai. Now, there's some confusion about what Hanudai was. I think probably based on our knowledge of the spice root, I would say India. Hanudai, India. What? Hindus, exactly right. By the way, you know, Hodu is also Hindu, because Hodu has a dagesh in the Dalet that hides the Nun, so it's actually Hundu. Now, by the way, I think Rashi says Kush. Which is weird, because Kush, I think there was a machlok about where Kush was, whether it was on Afro, whether it was on the... That's where we know it is. But I think sometimes when they thought of Kush, they were also thinking of Yemen, which is across the straits. Because you know why? Because it says that Shlomo went down with Bathsheba and they plundered Kush. So the question is, what did they do? There's a machloka, whether they plundered that area in the Arabian Peninsula, or whether they went on the other side. But I think the simple read is that it's India, so I don't think we need to get stuck with Rashi. But anyway, let's continue on. I'm sorry for slowing down. So Sharyim Avarchan Le Bar Pri Adama. So if you chow, you had this nice little ginger. What did he eat, by the way? It was Haimalta de Atia. Malta is some kind of ginger food. So where it says Lo Kasha Habaritva Habibiyabashta. Same answer, which is in one case, when you said a brit pradama, that was when it was nice and soft ginger. But in the case when it had dried up into a hard root, that's when it's not considered food. You wouldn't say a shakol, and you wouldn't say a bracha, and you wouldn't be usher to eat if you chewed it on Yom Kippur b'diavad. So Gemara says chavitz kadara v'chein daisa. If I've got wheat, which is cooked up, chavitz means. I think ground up in a, it's churned into some kind of buttery state. It's like you put liquid in it. Oh, I see. So it's some kind of, what's that? Porridge, or like in Israel when they eat daisa.
Oatmeal,
or cream of wheat actually might be a little bit better. Daisa, even though in modern Israel, when you think of daisa, you think of cream of wheat. Daisa actually means the actual grains, just the raw grains. So in this case, whether I have liquid daisa, whether I have dry daisa, or whatever, Yehuda Omer, Shakol Niyeh, B'dvaro, Rav Kan Omer, Borei Minei Mizonot. So the Gemara says, B'daisa Greida, Kuli Amalo, Pliyeh, B'borei Mizonot. Don't confuse things. It looks like they're talking about both cases, both the Chavitz Kedera and the Daisa. So the answer is no. When they're talking about Daisa as it is, everybody agrees Borei Mizonot. I assume that you're not eating raw grain. I assume it must be mixed with water to make it edible. The Chi Pligi B'daisa Kein Chavi Kedera. That's only when it's made with all kinds of honey, spices, milk, when it gets all nicened. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shakol, Saro Duvsha Ikar. It must have been made with Dvash. And because the Dvash gives it the real taste, therefore the Dvash overrides the Borei Menei Mizonot, the fact that it's wheat, and therefore you say Shakol. Rav Kan Omer, Borei Menei Mizonot, Savar Smida Ikar. Smida is a Greek word for semolina, or what we call in Hebrew solet. So Amar Rav Yosef Kavate de Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yosef says like the Mistabra de Rav Shmuel de Amri Tarvayu Kol Sheyesh Bo Chamesh Na Meitim Avarchem Alav Bori Priyam Azonot. And this is exactly, by the way, how we paskin today, which is you can put 1,000 pounds of dvash into your cream of wheat. If there's a significant amount of wheat in there, you are saying a Bori Priyam Azonot, and you're not saying a Shahakol. The Gemara says, "Gufa Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tarvayo Kol Sheyesh Bo Ben Chamesh Na Minim Mivarech Alav Borei Mizonot." Vid Mar Nami Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tarvayo Kol Sheyesh Bo Ben Chamesh Na Minim Mivarech Alav Borei Mizonot. The difference there is the first statement said Kol Sheyesh Bo, and the second one says Kol Shehu. So the first one translates as anything that has in it the Chamesh Na Minim. You say Borei Mizonot. And the other one says, all that is the Chamesh at Minim, your Mavarech on it, Borei Mizonot. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, I need both statements. De'i Ashmin and Kol Shehu, if I only said Kol Shehu and I didn't say Kol Sheyeshbo, Havi Minim Shum De'atye Be'enei, Ava Al Yedei Tarovet Lo. That's only, if I left out the word Kol Shehu, if I only had the word Kol Shehu, I have to be able to identify, Be'enei, I have to be able to identify that it's that's got wheat. But what if it's a mixture? I could think of like, I don't know, something that has wheat, but you really can't tell that there's wheat in it. Maybe like some chocolate bars or something where they're really substantially wheat inside. Or maybe like some cereals where there's really substantial wheat inside, but it's so flattened. I mean, I couldn't tell the difference. I don't know if everybody tells the difference between corn flakes and wheat flakes. It's not always so obvious. Or more to this point, what a tarovet. Example, what if I have a wheat base for my sauce from my, I don't know. You have a wheat base for soy, so you may still say shakol because you can't see the wheat at all. I think a tarova is a case where you can't identify it. Well, I guess the best thing to go back with is daisa, which is loading down so much with honey that it looks more like honey than actually wheat. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I would only assume if it's identifiable as wheat. But if the wheat can't identify it, I wouldn't say brahman doesn't know. Kamash malan, kol sheyeshbo, as long as it's there. V'yashmin kol sheyeshbo. Now, here we're on the next page, so I'm a little bit sloppy on this. Let's see if I can just finish it off and give the next verse a head start. But I didn't learn this, so we'll have to struggle through. V'yashmin kol sheyeshbo. If I only said kol sheyeshbo, which means it has in it, and I didn't say kol shehu, that it is, havi'yamin kol sheyeshbo chamesh na minim. Only if it contains at least one of the five minim. But what about, that's when I say b'nei mizonot. Aval orez v'dochan lo, mishum da'al yedei tarovet, aval ite be'ene. Aval orez v'dochen lo, but orez and dochen not, because they're not purely the chameshet minim. So Mara says mishum de al yedei tarovet, aval ite be'ene neima afilu orez v'dochen. So when they're by themselves, these things are not purely the chamesh minim, but they are grains. By the way, whether this orez is really talking about rice or not, the Tosfos says yes. Other people say no. It's some kind of raw, maybe like a some kind of not spelt, but some kind of wheat, which isn't quite a wheat. We paskin today that it's orez, and that's why we do say mizonah. So when I have something which is really the five minim, so I'm good to go. But what about a case where something is a grain, but it's not really one of the chamesh minim? I might assume if you just said kol sheyesh bo, only if it's got a tarovet. But if it's by itself, naim afilu afilu. If you mix them up with other things, then it's not good. But if I'm eating them by themselves, rice, if I have them right there in front of me, now the question is, what about rice? Because we say, so I don't know the answer because I didn't look into it, but